Welcome to iRoll Live with host Bob Bay.
We've been talking about being on this journey in the Promised Land now. We left Egypt, we're set free from where we were. We talked before about the Battle of Jericho and Ai, and the whole reason why we're talking about this is because we see a theme running through the Old Testament. We'll call it Exodus language. It seems as though there's a theme running through there. The Apostle Paul, when we get in the New Testament, and we're going to move to the New Testament next, he begins to have these same kind of themes when he's talking about Jesus. This idea of leaving where we were, being delivered from a place like Egypt, being delivered from the bondage of where we were, what we were caught in, the things that we were slaves to. But then you have this time in this wilderness experience. If you've been following, you know, I talk about the thing about growing up and having coping skills and, you know, and our mind and our will and emotions are kind of crazy. We begin following God, but we're really not sure how it all works, you know. We don't have enough experience in the Word to really understand what is going on there. It's like we have one foot in and one foot out, you know. We still got enough of the hood in us. I know I ain't from the hood. I'm from Fenton. I got enough of the county in me, of Midwest suburbia in me. I came out of that drug culture, and I still kind of had that, all of that stuff going on inside me, that survival mode. I was in survival mode. My coping skills were flaring and raging, and that was the only way I knew how to handle life. But I wanted to follow Jesus. I wanted to be where he wanted me to be. I wanted to be what at that time I would say, I wanted to be a good Christian. Didn't really know how. That is our wilderness experience. The children of Israel left Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. They were set free, no longer slaves, but all of that junk from the past was still in them. And so they wandered through the wilderness, and God was teaching them how to overcome that mentality, how to overcome where they were. It was an 11-day journey. It took more than 11 days for them to get there. They had a few detours along the way, but they came up to the Jordan, and they weren't allowed to go in because of their unbelief. That didn't catch God by surprise. He knew. I think he did that for their benefit so that they would understand and see where they were at. Remember, we talked about accepting where we're at, not making a claim of good or bad, not getting down about it, but just saying this is the reality of where I am. This is where I'm at. And then we can move forward from there. Hopefully, we say, this is where I'm at, and I don't want to stay here. I want to move forward. They had to go back out into the wilderness, and it says, until all the men of fighting age had died off. It was 40 years. It took that long for the old man to die off. Whether or not that in your wilderness experience, mine feels like it's going on 40 years. It's been, you know, in a month and a half, I'll have 35 years clean. So I'm getting close to 40. And sometimes like, oh God, when's this journey ever going to end? But it's never going to end. I mean, the reality of it is it's never going to end until we pass on and to be fully with Jesus. But I'm walking in the Promised Land. I'm walking in my Promised Land right now. That's where we're at right now, is we've come out of our wilderness experience, okay? We're at that part where we're learning how to operate in the Promised Land. I keep saying the Promised Land, it goes back to the garden. We're getting to the point where God can begin to meet our needs. Our need for significance, for peace of mind, for knowing that the future's in his hands, that we can trust him, that he's going to take care of us. He knows all the stuff that we need, and he's got a plan for us. And those are all good ideas. But just like the children of Israel, just because we cross over the Jordan doesn't mean we automatically get it. And there are things in us, there are battles that we must fight and lessons we must learn. And tonight's is not a battle per se, but it is a lesson that we must learn. And there is a battle to it. And we've talked in the past about learning to follow God. And you guys, that can be hard. It's hard when we feel like we're in the wilderness and God is far off. We may be following the cloud or the pillar of fire. You know, that's what the children of Israel followed. There was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And so they could see it, but it was a distance off. And they would follow it, but it was like it was always out here. It wasn't inside them. And so a lot of times when we become new believers, we're in the wilderness and we're in that point. God still feels a long ways away, and it's hard to make that connection. And so when I'm talking about following God and talking to Him and building a relationship, maybe you're not there yet, but you're at the point where you need to begin to learn to build that relationship. And it's learned in the little choices. We want big cloud opening, cloud parting, Jesus descending down from heaven and speaking to us in an audible voice, burning bush experiences. It wouldn't it be so much easier if God would just come down and speak to us out of a burning bush? Then we would know. It'd be kind of hard to say, was that really God? Well, that bush was burning and He was in there and He talked to me in an audible. That'd be so much easier if we could do that. But that's not the way God chose to do it. In our lives, we start out in the little things like, God, I have this bill coming up, and I don't know how I'm going to pay it, but I'm trusting that You will take care of this for me, and I'm giving this to You. I'm putting my trust in You. And then He gives you ideas on how to make extra income, or He'll work it out so that you could pick up an extra shift or something, or a check will come in the mail for no apparent reason. You know, whatever it may be, building a relationship, God starts just like building a relationship between us or me and Joe. You start out talking, and I tell Joe a little bit about me, and he tells me a little bit about him. And so as time goes, you begin to learn more and more about each other. And as I feel more comfortable, I share more about how I really feel about things with Joe, and he shares things with me. It's the same way with God. You may be reading something in the Bible and not get anything out of it, and then after a year, you read that same thing, and it's like, oh, it's like you missed it. No, what it is God's revealing something deeper to you. He is drawing closer to you. We'll begin to feel that trust, and so we'll start talking to Him more. Sadly, what ends up happening a lot of times is people just stay distant because they see God as being out there still, that cloud, and they're just following a set of ideas or principles. You go to church on Sunday, you pray for a few minutes each day, maybe you'll do a devotional in the morning, maybe read a little bit of the Bible or whatever, and then that's good enough. He wants us to talk to Him about those things, and then He will talk to us. Because what He really wants to be able to do is help us and guide us on how to live in the promises that He's given us. And if we don't build that relationship, we'll never know how to do it. If we keep our relationship with God a transactional thing where, okay, I believe in God and I go to church, so I'm going to heaven one day. If that's what your relationship is, it'll never go any farther than that. What we need is not a transactional gospel. We need a relational gospel where we're building a relationship. This is in Joshua chapter 9. I'm going to tell you this story. Joshua and the children of Israel were told that they get to have all of the promised land. But one of the conditions of that is they were to wipe out all the inhabitants there. God knew that if they intermingled with these people in the promised land, it's just like if you have a drinking problem, if you keep going to the bar, eventually you're going to drink. If you keep going back to the same people, places, and things that you did before, eventually you're going to end up going back to that. He wanted them to have this land just for themselves. And so they go in. Jericho is that battle of Jericho is won. They learned a hard lesson at Ai. If you weren't here for that, you can go back and listen on the podcast. And so they're going on. And then all of these other kings and kingdoms that are left out here are seeing what's going on, and they all join together, and they're going to fight Joshua and the children of Israel. They say, we don't stand a chance on our own, but we need to come together, and we can fight them, and we can win. But they all join together. But there's a group, the Gibeonites, come together, and they say, you know what? We ain't going to be able to win against these people. They're just too strong. Their God is too strong. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to fake them out. We're going to put on old clothes, old worn out clothes, and we're going to get old moldy bread, and we're going to get all this stuff, and we're going to pretend like we're from a long ways away. And we're going to come, and we're going to make a treaty with them, a covenant, so that they won't kill us. And so that's what they do. They do all this. They come up to Joshua, and they're like, hey, guys, we heard about all the great things that your God's doing, and so we've come from a long way. Why don't you make a covenant with us and don't hurt us, and everything will be cool. And the children of Israel are like, how do we know that you're telling the truth? And they're like, hey, look, check it out. When we left, our sandals were new, and look how worn out they are. We left with this fresh bread, and look at it now. It's all hard and moldy. And these wineskins were like brand new when we left, but look at them now. They're all torn and all worn out and everything. See, that's how far away we are from you guys. The leaders of the Israelites took some of their provisions. I want to read this part. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. They didn't go to God and ask him and talk to him about it. They're moving on, and these people are with them. You'll have to read it for yourself to get the whole story. They're moving on. And they find out after a couple of days that these people were from right down the road. And they tricked them. All the group of the Israelites were like, hey, these people tricked us. We should kill them like God said. But the leaders of Israel said, no, we promised before God and made a covenant with them that we weren't going to hurt them, so we can't do it. And so Joshua said, you know, why'd you guys do all of this? And they said, well, we heard about how awesome your God was and all of the stuff that he did. And so we didn't want you to kill us, so we did all of this. And so Joshua's like, well, yeah, but you guys are going to be our slaves now. What's the point in this? What is this lesson that we have to learn? So up until that point, they became their slaves, the woodcutters. Slavery back then was totally different than our frame of references in that there were laws, and the Israelites had laws and rules that they were given in the beginning of the wilderness about how you treated your quote-unquote slaves. You had to provide for them. It was basically indentured servitude. You had to take care of them. You had to provide an X amount of food. At the end of a certain amount of time, they had to be freed. They were given the opportunity if they wanted to stay. It was going to be a burden on the children of Israel to keep them. They were going to do the lowly work, but it was going to be a burden for them to keep them. And so why do I say that? This is the lesson that we have to learn. We all are going to make decisions, and we're going to be deceived by our enemy. And we're going to have times where we do not seek the counsel of God, and we're going to make mistakes. You are going to have to live with that for the rest of your life. I have things, the choices that I made 35 years ago, financially, affects me even still to this day. Yeah, you can rebuild your credit, you can do all this, but I was set back so far. It took 10 years. To get out of debt from the debt that I had created when I did drugs. So that set me 10 years behind. That was 10 years that my children had to suffer. But this is what happened. God did work out all things for good. There was a purpose that came out of it. And it will be the same for each of us. This is what God said. And they did not seek the counsel of the Lord. And that's how they were deceived. Had they gone to God, they would not have been deceived. This idea and this principle in walking in the promised land is we have to stay in that relationship that I opened this up with. And you have to build that relationship. Because you have an enemy. The Bible says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, powers, and authorities of darkness. The enemy wants to come against us. The enemy wants to come against us. He wants to trick us. He wants to make us make decisions without talking to God first. And when we do that, there are going to be consequences from that. Now, God will work things out, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the way God intended for it to be. You guys know who King David was? So David was in the lineage of Jesus. He became the king of Israel. David's the guy that slew Goliath with a rock. David was king. They sang songs about him. He was this great guy, and he wanted to build a temple for God because David made a mistake. I don't have time to go into all of it, but David had messed up during that time, so God would not allow him to build the temple. It was left for his son. He could gather items for it, but that was David's heart. He wanted to be able to build the temple for God, and God would not allow him to do that because he messed up. Now, we have a Redeemer, and God can overcome everything that we go through. I don't want to dishearten anybody. I don't want anybody to feel like what's happened in my life can't be overcome. What's happened has happened. We can be forgiven for that, but there will be consequences for it. This is the third battle, and that battle is the battle with the enemy and being deceived. And the only way to fight that battle is to take counsel with God. One more battle to come. And then it says, then the Bible says, and then the children of Israel had peace. And it would be great if the story was over then and everything was wonderful and it finished off with, and they lived happily forever after. But that was not the way it went. Because as those battles would come against them, they would fail on those battles.
Thanks for listening. Please comment and subscribe for upcoming podcasts. To order your copy of My Real Life, go to the Take Action page at our website, reallifeministries-stl.com, or go to Real Life Ministries STL on Facebook.